You are listening to the Ice House Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Kia ora, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ice House Podcast. And this is the first episode of 2024, which is crazy to think. It's also part two of our conversation with Bradley Hook. He is a partner at the Resilience Institute, who the Ice House has partnered with for many, many years with Dr. Sven Hansen. And we wanted to kick off the year with this part of the conversation, which is leaning towards how to start the year well. So, Brad, thanks heaps for being back on the podcast with us.
Thanks, Briar. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That's cool. First question, any tips to beat the post-holiday blues? We're back now. People might be feeling it a little.
Absolutely. Create some space when you first get back. We have a tendency to dive right in and maybe even to recreate the busyness of last year.
Yeah.
There usually is a little bit of time and space at the start of the year to refocus on what matters, to redefine or re-emphasize our purpose. What is it that we're actually here to do? Rather than just sitting there and stressing about all of the emails that have filled the inbox over the break. Most of them are going to be junk mail. Just delete those, get rid of the spam, get rid of the ads, and give yourself a little bit of time and space to adapt. I often say when you arrive at a yoga class, for example, there is a little bit of space to arrive.
Yes.
And we don't often give ourselves that little bit of space when we arrive back at work, just to settle in before we do the work. And often we don't create a little bit of space at the end of a work day, just as you do in a yoga class, to settle before you go back out into the world. And we call this smart switching. So there's a tool that we recommend, which is, before you shift contexts, going from, busy work environment to your home environment, can you spend a moment or two just to calm your nervous system? Reassure yourself, hey, everything's fine. We dealt with that, and now we're going to shift into our home mode. Right. And it's equally important coming from home mode back into the work environment. A little bit of time just to put things in perspective. Okay, focus on our why. I mentioned it in the last session, but what is our purpose? What are we here for? Aligning people around that again. That can really help to mitigate or reduce the intensity of the post-holiday blues. Ideally, I think you've created some habits over the holidays. You're perhaps sleeping at more regular times, waking up at a regular time, moving at regular times. Now is the critical moment to continue those habits. Into the new year. Otherwise, we risk losing out on all of the good work that we've already established. There shouldn't be post-holiday blues as such if you've managed to energize yourself over the holidays. In fact, I've seen leaders who are so excited about the start of the new year. The post-holiday blues are often as a result of, I've been staying up all night through the holidays, 2 a.m., doing whatever it is I'm doing, and now at 6 a.m. on the first day back, I'm exhausted. This happens. So really preparing during the holidays so that there isn't a shock to your system when you do go back on the first day.
Brilliant advice. It's good. I want to touch on, it's a bit of a tangent, but I want to touch on, did you say smart switching?
Yeah.
I've heard some business owners on the podcast before mention that they've got things, when they're driving from home back, driving from work back home after the work day. For one of the business owners, they are on sort of like a lifestyle property, and there's like that bumpy sort of bridge, for the sheep and things. And every time they sort of bump over the bridge, it's their mental decision making to go, cool, I am home now, and doing that that sort of switch and that sort of breathing moment of I will be, I'm present with my family and things. And just different things I've heard on the podcast that people do to in the everyday routine to do that smart switching. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. Some people find changing clothes, even if you work at home.
Yes, that's a good one.
Changing clothes at the end of the day, spending a minute just breathing, bringing myself to calm. Maybe a moment of asking myself what went well today before I step into the home environment. These are simple tools, but they can be hugely effective.
Yeah, Yeah, great. I love that. When looking ahead to a new year, what is a tip for starting a new year strong? Is it goal setting? Is it, looking at our purpose or a why? What's something that comes to mind for you?
I think clarity is important.
Yes.
Deciding, okay, what is it that we're here to do? Why are we doing it? Just really having a clear map of where we are now and what we want to achieve. Because we can get derailed so quickly by unexpected change and this and that. Like taking stock of where did we get to last year? Where are we going? Why? I always think, as I say, start with why. That reminds us of the purpose. And that in itself can be a strong motivator. And share that with everyone else in the team.
Yeah,
this is the reason why we're doing what we do. It's important. It serves others. And often when you dig down, what we all do helps improve someone else's life experience.
Mm.
That's the tools and the products and the services that we create.
Yeah.
And focusing on that can really help. I think also this idea of presence, committing to, I'm not going to get dragged off and hijacked by my reptilian brain all year long. Let's all commit together to really stay present. One of my favorite quotes is, make this moment golden and your life becomes a series of golden moments.
Cool.
So how can we stay present and focus on what matters and what we can control this year and align with our purpose, and then put in place the little steps to get there, recognizing that is probably going to be a mess.
Mm.
And we're going to have to find and create new steps to get there. But that's okay too, because we're going to stay present.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I love it. For business owners that are going, okay, it was out of line last year in terms of work-life balance. I need to do something to better it this year. What are some tips that they can better their work-life balance in 2024?
Good question.
And I know that looks different to different people, because we've had discussions around work-life balance and some people don't like the term. But you know what I mean by that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So I think creating some non-negotiables for yourself. Things that no matter what happens, you can rely and fall back on them because you know that they work for you. So for me, if I neglect physical activity, I start to find myself on a downward spiral.
Yeah.
Quite quickly, actually. And when I sacrifice my own well-being, I really feel it strongly, and I start to resent what I'm about to do the next day.
Yeah.
You don't want to be resenting this important work that you do. So locking practices in, and that will give you a sense of balance, because at least you're prioritizing your stuff. But it's not all about physical activity. It's also about time with family, time with friends. Some of us are really energized by social connection.
Yeah.
So that's important. If that's you, making sure you have time for that.
Yeah.
For others, it's about being creative.
Yeah.
Making sure you have time for that. I'm not sure, when I reflect on my own life, whether there is a clear split between work and life. Because I work for a global organization, we have calls often starting at 8 p.m. And maybe sometimes again at 8 a.m.
Mm.
And you could spend all of your time just working. So for me, it's all about having these practices, non-negotiables, every day. So for example, at around about 4:30 every day, you'll find me on Mount Maunganui.
Wow.
No matter what.
A.M. or P.M.?
P.M.
Okay. Just checking.
I'm not as regimented as our founder, Dr. Sven, who might be up there much earlier than me. No, but, I find these pockets of time and I block them off and I actually put them in my calendar.
Yeah,
so
great.
No one can book that time with me. And so many leaders say, but I feel guilty when I do that. Well, does it make you a better leader when you embed that practice in your routine? And the answer is yes. And if the answer is yes, just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So striving for balance can be hard. Maybe it's worthwhile leaning into discomfort rather than striving for balance. And sometimes that discomfort is prioritizing yourself and things that you enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about in part one a little bit about morning routines. Can I ask on the podcast what yours is?
Yeah, absolutely. So a very unsuccessful version of my morning routine is waking up and checking my phone.
Yeah.
And that happens sometimes. And I have to make corrections because it never gives me the momentum or the positive start that I would like.
Yeah.
So I always say I'm on this journey just like everyone else. Make mistakes, but try and correct them as quickly as possible.
Yeah. But you're real too. It's good to hear.
Oh, 100%. Just ask my wife and daughter. They'll tell you the reality. But so morning routine, wake up. Go into the kitchen, get a glass of slightly salted water, drink that. My family think it's disgusting. It's absolutely fine. I mean, it's no different to drinking soup, really. But some research suggests it's good for balancing your electrolytes and so forth, especially if you've been sweating overnight.
Mm.
In summer, useful.
Mm.
Go outside, morning light into the eyes, stand out there, do some breathing exercises. So sometimes I will breathe rapidly to try and oxygenate the blood, and other times I'll just do long, slow, tactical calm.
Yeah.
Go and stand on some grass.
Yeah.
Now, grounding sounds a little bit esoteric and a little bit, you know, woo-woo, mm-hmm. but there is some research that shows that standing on the earth can have benefits.
Yeah.
So standing on the grass, and anyway, it's just quite a nice thing to do. You feel quite connected with the earth. After that, a short walk. Maybe if I don't have meetings straight away, I'll do a workout in the morning.
Mm.
However, I usually lock in my real workout for the day for around about 4:30 p.m. because it's just a nice time. I love going and seeing the sunset.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, and nature, like you said, is so, so important to us. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my little morning routine. and of course, you can expand that. You could do 5 minutes of jogging on the spot. And suddenly, you know, as I always say, if you were to do 5 push-ups every morning outside on the grass, by the end of the year, you will have done 1,850 push-ups you would never have done otherwise.
So true.
You're going to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
And that took 20 seconds?
Yeah. When you put it like that, I need to get into my push-ups. No, that's very cool. Going back to sort of, you know, that business owner mindset, you know, looking ahead at 2024, how can business owners build a culture of resilience within their teams?
Great question. I think it starts with walking the talk.
Yeah, yeah.
If we come into an organization and we try and equip the team with skills, but the leaders don't actually promote or champion or model these skills, it's never going to work.
Yeah, true.
So start with yourself and practice some of these tools such as calm. I'm a calm leader.
Mm.
Positivity. You know, being able to reframe situations, emotional agility, not relying on these base impulses that we all experience when we deal with stress. Cognitive skills, you know, optimism. Can I reframe this situation? What are some tools I can use in this situation to view a challenge from multiple angles?
Yeah.
And how can I create my high performance zone? So creating the conditions for flow, which require a clear goal, skills to match the challenge, minimal distractions in your environment, the right amount of time. This can really help to create a culture of resilience. So firstly, model them yourself, and then encourage others to apply some of these rhythms into their everyday life. Our founder, Dr. Sven's most recent book is called Rhythm, and it's all about drills and practices. A sports team know very well that you have to create rhythms in order to perform at your best.
Yeah.
And I think that's a useful lesson in the business context. But also as a leader, getting to know your team.
Yeah.
There are some quite common behavioral styles that the research has shown exist. You know, guardians tend to be more analytical and reserved. Integrators tend to be people. You've got pioneers who are the visionaries, the idea generators, and drivers who like to get things done. Get a sense of the different styles in your team. There are tools for this. If anyone's interested, I'm happy to share some of them.
Mm.
And then start to understand what motivates each one of your people, where those conflicts and tensions arise, where there's differences in styles. And you can start to, you know, build affiliative leadership.
Yeah.
You know, we're in this together. Here's our purpose. I understand what motivates you. I understand what alienates you. How can we be quite dynamic and play to our strengths over the year And when that communication is a little bit more cohesive and we're collaborating, the reality is we start to get much more momentum. These tools exist for a reason because they actually work. So yeah, start by modeling it, discover what really drives each one of your team members, how you can motivate them, play to your strengths, and as I said in the previous session, keep focusing and recalibrating on the why. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, brilliant. And yeah, if any listeners are wanting access to those tools, let us know and we can connect you with those tools. But yeah, great. I want to finish with this question. What gives you joy? What fills your tank?
I think there's a few things. Spending time with my daughter. Mm. Yeah, it's so much fun. She is so clever, and I know all parents say this, but just watching her little life unfold and her personality develop, that gives me huge joy. Just seeing her smile, the little dimple, that's all I need, and my bucket is full.
Wow.
I think surfing, mm-hmm. when I get to go surfing, it's like entering a different universe.
Wow.
Skills match the challenge. I've practiced it all my life. All I need to do is one good top turn or get a little barrel, and I am I'm happy for weeks.
Wow. You live in a good place then to be able to do that.
I do. I think living in Raglan or a real surf town would fill my bucket even more, but it's a good balance because then I don't just surf all day. I also get do some productive things.
Great.
As I mentioned, just spending time in nature, being up on top of Mount Maunganui, sitting on one of the rocks, watching the sun set, watching the patterns of light on the water, just feeling present, that brings me joy. And then finally, interacting with business owners and their teams, you know, getting to share some ideas, and then hearing later on that it really made a difference to someone's life. I mean, what could be more fulfilling than that?
Yeah, that's so cool, Brad. Great to hear. And yeah, for those listening, I'll put some more information about the Resilience Institute in the show notes, because even going on your website to prepare for these podcasts, there are so many incredible resources on your guys' website that, you know, blogs about the situation. So if anyone's wanting to do a bit of their own research, I would definitely recommend heading to your guys' website for sure. Thank you. And also the Resilience podcast, your podcast as well that you host, some really incredible conversations on there that dive a lot deeper into some of these, you know, patterns and things that we've been talking about. So yes, if this has sparked something for you, some interest, do follow that. And I will give you the information for that. But Brad, thank you so much for, setting our years up for a win. You know, how we can actually have a bit more work-life balance, look after ourselves, build resilience within our teams. Really, really appreciate this conversation.
Thank you so much. As I said, start small, be playful and curious, and focus on why. Thank you, Brian.
No worries.